Good day, and welcome to the Talk It Out podcast. My name is Neil Bailey Harper, and today I am in focus with Lest We Not Forget. In front of mind should always be love for those who serve. The music I'm listening to today begins with the one and only Carole King from her Tapestry album in 1971. The song is So Far Away. It's Veterans Day. And I want to start, firstly, giving love to those who serve. Not just today, but every day. Anytime I come in contact with a man or woman in uniform, depending on the circumstances, I try to find a way to say thank you, other than to just say thank you. I want to talk about a few different things. And the first thing that came to mind for me is deployment. Deployment. The older I get, the more I try to see things through the eyes of someone else. Things that I haven't seen for myself. Growing up, I would venture to say that many of us have seen a picture in our house, in the house of our grandmother, in the house of our relative, in the house of a friend, of a member of our family, their family, some family, in uniform. A nice 8x10 picture of a closed mouth smiling soldier, be it Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines. Sometimes I couldn't tell which branch of the service it was. I just knew that it was the service, and it was someone that everyone held dear, as we should. And someone who might be sitting across the room from you, or might be across the world from you. I try to think about, I have two sons. And today, it's a choice. See, in this country, we have always chosen to serve, whether there was a selective service or not. World War I, when we had 100,000 active military in 1917, and they developed a selective service for World War I, within the next year or two, maybe 24 million people applied. So we've always served, but we always have to be conscious and aware of how this service affects not only the military man or woman serving, but the families who have to deal with their loved one being away. And one of the biggest parts of the families is the children. The children of these loved ones that go away. See, spouses, I went to Military Times and did a little bit of research, and spouses of these families, 35, they're mostly under 35 years old, and mostly women. Only 5% of military families, the spouses tend to be men. With that said, though, there is something, there's a lot of emotion going, whether they're coming or going, and while they're away. And while it's nice, while it's incredibly good to hear from your family, there's this something, an organization called Smiles for Soldiers. Smiles for Soldiers. And you can send anybody in the military a letter through this organization, whether you know them or not, just to say thank you. See, things like depression and stress and anxiety, studies have been shown that 20% of soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan have these, live with this every day. And maybe a letter from somebody that they know, definitely a letter from somebody that they know, but also a letter from somebody that they don't know, could make them feel just as good. So that smiles for soldiers. The other thing, we all might have had a friend who we would call a military brat because they went from base to base. And we don't think anything of that. But when you consider that military families tend to relocate 10 times more than other civilian families, every 2 or 3 years, you're moving. You're going somewhere else, not to another part of the country, but to another part of the world. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire. The song is Open Our Eyes. Since 2001, here's where my heart is too. From 2001, more than 2 million American children have had a parent deployed at least one time. So a parent's gone away at least one time, at least one parent, to 2 million children, American children. 900,000 children, one or both parents, have been deployed multiple times. Think about that. 900,000 children in the last 20 years have had one or both of their parents deployed. Short stints, I would imagine each stint at least 6 months or longer. I've had the pleasure of helping a family, my godson, actually live with us for a year and still live with us in our hearts every day. But it's the least we can do, because 37% of these families seriously worry, 37% of these children seriously worry that something bad will happen to that deployed parent. So imagine your child, one of your parents, has been deployed, and with close to 1 million children, one of your parents has been deployed, or both of your parents have been deployed more than one time. You're living and moving 10 times more than the average family. And you're worried that that parent that's been deployed, or those parents who've been deployed, might have trouble getting back to you. What are we doing for them? Outside of reaching out with our hearts and our hands, what are we doing for them as a country? Are we making life as easy as possible for them? I think we should be. Here's some other things. In the service, protecting and serving your country and defending us in a time of COVID. Yeah, in this time of COVID. Not only are we asking them to fight battles for us, real and imagined, but fight this battle with an unseen yet well-known enemy. Captain Brett E. Crozier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, seemingly broke protocol because he knew he had a aircraft carrier full of sick soldiers. 155 people were diagnosed with coronavirus on the carrier. This is in March or April of this year. And he broke protocol to save lives of American soldiers. Imagining their job is difficult enough, and the way they do their job is difficult enough. Add in this virus, and it makes it even harder to do. I read an article that says of September, maybe 40,000 soldiers were infected with the coronavirus. I hope that's the number. Not saying that I hope that's the number in any kind of good way. I just hope it's no more than that. I will say this, though. I don't think we'll ever know, because that's not the way they would serve. I don't think they would tell us. I pray that the last estimates I saw, maybe 8 soldiers as of September had passed, sadly, from the virus. Again, I wish there were 0. I hope there's no more than that. But again, that's service. They just put that in the hopper with everything else, and they still continue to serve. I did something. Now, when I say their service, we have to serve also. Most of the time in the last, since I really became conscious, I'll be honest about these kinds of things, in the last 10 or 20 years, actually since I had kids, I would say, 25 years ago. If I'm in the grocery store and I see a man or woman in uniform, there has been more than 1 or 2 or 3 times where I would go and get a gift card. Just one of those $25 Visa things. Stop shopping. Go pay for that. Find that service person and just hand it to them. Just hand it to them. And it makes me probably feel as good as it makes them feel. I've never had anybody say no thank you, because they know I'm trying to say thank you. I would see a group of soldiers in training at a restaurant one time, and I remember going over to their supervisor and offering, and then he allowed me to buy them lunch, all of them. In my business, I work with a company called Lincoln Military Housing. And Lincoln Military Housing and I came to agreements contractually to go and do shows at military bases for families, soldiers, their families, and their children. Well, I'm recalling years ago, I went to a place in West Virginia. It was the Shady Grove Military Base in West Virginia. And I honestly can't tell you which branch of the military it was. I want to say Navy, but it's in Shady Grove. Now, I'm in right outside of D.C., so it was a long drive, a little bit over 3 hours. And the woman I'm related to by marriage took that ride with me. Well, after 3 hours of driving, we're in West Virginia, and we're in Shady Grove, and we're approaching the last 10, 15 minutes of this ride. And I notice all of these signs and all of these soldiers. And one sign in general said that if you wish for a soldier to drive you up the mountain, stop here. I was driving the car, or the SUV. I cannot, or had a very hard time with mountains and heights. And from what I could tell, Shady Grove Military Base was straight up. It went straight up. And as intelligent as I think I am, I have never understood how a car or a truck or a van going straight up on an angle toward the sky can go that way without falling back. I freaked out. I stopped at the bottom of the mountain. The woman I'm related to by marriage drove that vehicle up the mountain. Otherwise, I would have canceled. Now, when I got up there, talking to these people, very nice, very just glad to see somebody. And I realized that there were only three kids. I was looking for 100 to 200. There were only three children there. Now, at the top of the mountain, they had everything they needed, movie theaters, grocery stores, all of that, but it was on the mountain. And there were only three kids, and I was in a gymnasium doing this show. It broke down into just a play date. And I had a great time with these three kids and talking to the wives of the soldiers who, in this case, it was just wives. The soldiers weren't there. It was just a great time. And I felt like I was serving, giving them something that helped. Now, going back down that mountain, my fear came back. Again, the woman I'm related to by marriage drove the car down the mountain. And for some reason, there was a big white truck in front of us going down the mountain, which almost in my mind acted as a guide, a tour guide, to get us safely down the mountain. Which we did get safely down the mountain. And I can tell you because I saw perfectly well how it all happened from the back seat. I'm not going to tell you any lie. I was in the back seat. So, but still, just the fact that driving, and I say that to say that it was a big deal for me driving up a mountain to serve. Imagine how it is for somebody, or I imagine how it is for somebody going across the mountain with a firearm to protect and serve in a place that they've never been before, against people who are hostile to them being in this place they've never been before. All of these little things, when we say service and we see somebody in a uniform, and I start to consider, even to the point of just natural disasters in our own country, instances of hurricanes, tornadoes, where we need help right away, the best way possible. The most focused people in the world are our military servicemen and women during times of service. You see things like what happened in New Orleans, the hurricane in 2006, I believe. The images of recovery all feature military, Coast Guard, things of that nature. So I consider all that every day, and I'm grateful that I live in this place and I have these people to help us and serve us. Now, what can we do for them? I got a shitload of things we can do for them. First thing, everyone who served in the military, through wartime or not, everyone should have free health care for themselves and their immediate families for the rest of their natural lives. Every one of them should have health care for themselves and their immediate families for the rest of their natural lives. everyone should have some kind of version of the GI Bill where you can have a residence, a house, an apartment, some kind of paper, some kind of thing that allows you to stay someplace safe with a roof over your head automatically. Two basic things. Two very, very basic things. A place to stay and to be cared for when you stay at that place. That, you know, this is war. The group War. The song is Deliver the Word. The last song was the group War also, and that song was called War is Coming. Okay, so back to my thoughts. We pay $10 billion a month for a war we're fighting across the world. Can you imagine how much $10 billion a month will go to not only correcting, but dissipating, having a lot of these situations that our soldiers struggle through, they can make these situations disappear. That money could pay talented people who do this all throughout our society successfully, have a chance to do this for the military. Make bad situations at home disappear. Why not? See, what we are understanding and what I'm understanding now in this 2020 is that we can take money and argue about how it's spent or do what needs to be done with it. It blows my mind that the military budget of $700 billion or more to make planes and trains and automobiles doesn't make housing for their soldiers, doesn't celebrate these soldiers with security and health care while they're serving and when they are finished serving. See, we gotta get out of this mode of just saying thank you to soldiers, to teachers, to law enforcement officers, to child care workers, to bus drivers, to grocery store workers. We gotta stop just saying thank you. Start by paying them a minimum, a living wage. But with our soldiers, they've earned far more than just a living wage. They've allowed us to live, and in many cases, allowed us to live well. How do we serve them? How do we serve them? Starting today. I wish we'd have started yesterday. We have done a lot of things, but we can do more. And we should do more. I'm not going to forget. I don't think any of us will. Mentally, I see a picture on the wall in my house now of someone in uniform. I have a brother and a sister that both served in the Navy. I have a brother-in-law who's a brother who served in the Navy. All of this is real. And I love them and I thank them. And whether I know you or not, I love you and I thank you for serving. Deliver the word, y'all. Everybody do what you can do until we all do what we should do. Talk to somebody. I'm going to keep talking to you. This is the Talk It Out podcast on Veterans Day 2020. Thank you. Be blessed. Have a blessed and wonderful day, everyone. Talk to you soon. It's an emergency. Show love. I didn't forget you, T.S. Love you too.